microphone down.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Is that better? Could you not hear me before?
No.
Yes, they can all hear me. Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, this is full flow there.
Very well.
Shall we get back to the story? So, yes. So, my brothers would love to capsize the boat and send me into the water, so I'd have to come back in. But there was one particular day, I know that I remember, when we were out in the boat, it was particularly like today, but actually, it suddenly got very dark, and the rain came. Now, it wasn't that much of a deal, really, but it did. The waves did get quite high, and the rain was coming down, and yet again, I was wet, from only being in the boat, not even being outside. But there was that moment when I thought, maybe I'd be sick, and I'm bailing it out, and I'm losing the food, and everything else I had to do with my brothers. It was sick, but not that bad. And today in our reading, we have another storm on an ocean. But it's a very different storm, and it's a very different boat on that sea. Mine was a tiny little boat. Theirs was much bigger. It was a fishing boat. And it was probably a much trickier situation. I still don't like to get in a boat today, even though I have. And sometimes it's joy of being used greatly by God on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preaches that sermon, he leads 5,000 people to join in the church. And when it comes to Peter walking on water, I've often heard preachers and I've read commentaries that condemn him for his lack of faith. True, Jesus does say to Peter and call him a man of little faith. When I was reading that,
They're all on their own. Can you hear me now? Oh my word. They're all alone in the waves. Jesus suddenly appears out in the distance. When the disciples first see Jesus coming to them, they mistake him for a ghost. They're tired, they're fed up. Their minds are working overtime. They've just spent the whole night afraid that the storm would drown them, and now a ghost shows up. Things, if you like, are going from bad to worse. And have you ever noticed that we make problems of life worse in our heads than they really are? As humans, we are masters, and I know I am, of creating terrible events in our minds and worrying ourselves to death about what might go wrong, when in reality, it's probably not going to. But have you ever watched the old suspense movies? Those directors knew something about our ability to create fears in our heads. Old movies will let us know something bad is going to happen, but then they don't show it. We just know that it's happening. Our mind, if you like, is allowed to run wild, whereas today it's very immediate and we're shown everything. But what is it that keeps us from stepping on out of the boat and following Jesus to what he's calling you to do? Is it that fear? Is it that fear in our minds that we've built up about what might happen? I'm wondering if, like me, you're a bit of a procrastinator. I can't tell you how long I procrastinated before I wrote this sermon. Something that happens every time before I preach. I can do everything else than sit down and write. If you like, I'm in my boat. I'm looking for the best way out. Where's the ladder to fling over the side so I can get out safely? What do I need to equip me for what I'm about to do? Where's my life jacket for a start? Is the water cold? Is the water clear? What's going to happen? We all put many things in the way, build those things up in our mind, the things that might stop us from just climbing out of our boats. When we're very young, if you notice, fear doesn't seem to affect us in quite the same way. Children can appear very fearless. When they're learning to walk, no one-year-old stumbles, falls down, and thinks to himself, I'm not cut out to be a walker. I won't get up again. I'll spend my whole life crawling around. They get up, even though they've fallen down, they get up and walk again. But as we grow older, we seem to grow more afraid of falling. We'd rather avoid falling down and failing than learn to walk. We would rather stay in our own little boats, just like the other disciples. They had seen so much of Jesus' power. They had heard his teaching. They traveled with him. They'd prayed with him. But still, when they saw him approaching, they were frightened and stuck in that boat. We too, I suggest, have probably spent a long time with Jesus. We've learned about his miracles. We've read so much about him in the Bible. We know him, if you like. But sometimes we would rather just stay where we are, because, do you know what? It's safe and it's great. For me, I think what holds me in my boats is the fear of failing, of letting people down, of letting God down. What if I get it wrong? What if I haven't heard God properly? What if I haven't prayed enough? When I first heard God calling me for a job in chaplaincy, I didn't really listen. I was quite happy working here. I decided it was parish ministry I was being called to, so I was staying in my boat here at St. Paul's and in All Saints, and I was waiting till that parish came up for me. I even encouraged a very dear friend to go for the first chaplaincy job that came up that I noticed. And she got it, and she was great. But still, I didn't listen. I didn't get out of my boat. It would be another couple of years before I finally faced my fears, if you like, and applied for that first job at Lister. The fear of failing, I think, was what kept me. I thought of every excuse. I had no experience. I wouldn't be good at it because I trained as a nurse, therefore I couldn't transfer from being a nurse to being a chaplain. They wouldn't like me. I wouldn't know where anything was in the hospital. Oh, I had so many reasons why I couldn't do it. But sometimes God almost has to push me out of the boat. He keeps saying to me, come. Sometimes he has to give me a little bit of a shove. I nearly missed that calling from God. It took me so long to get out of the boat, to trust in him, to keep my eyes on me, to know the Jesus I know who saves will accompany me always. I wonder if you remember, it's quite an old film now, the scene from that wonderful film Chariots of Fire, when English runner Harold Abrahams runs against the Scottish champion Eric Liddell and loses for the first time in his life. The pain of failure is so great, he decides he can't race again. His very glamorous girlfriend, Sybil, says, Harold, this is ridiculous. It's a race you've lost, not a relative. Nobody's dead. Harold moans, I've lost. I know, I was there, says Sybil. I remember watching you. It was marvellous. You were marvellous. He was more marvellous, that's all. On that day, the best man won. He was ahead. There was nothing you could have done. He won fair and square. Well, that's that, Abrams says. If you can't take a beating, then perhaps it's for the best, Sybil says. I don't run to take beatings. I run to win, Harold shouts. And if I can't win, I won't run. Sybil pauses and then says to him firmly, if you don't run, you can't win. To run the best race you can, to give everything that is in you and win, that is glorious. To run the race, giving your all, your best and lose, is painful, but it's not a failure. Failure is refusing to run the race at all. For me, the fear of failure was preventing me from getting out of the boat, not listening to Jesus saying, come, come to chaplaincy, come do this work. I wish in a way I could be more like Peter and just have jumped out of that boat and gone for it. For Jesus called Peter out of that boat to do the impossible and walk on the water. It is, and was something truly crazy, to be honest, and impossible. And it was definitely must have been for the early Christians when they heard this. It must have seemed crazy. We know when we read about Paul's shipwrecks, when he's shipwrecked, it isn't his first thought that he must get out of the boat and walk on the water to the shore. He doesn't expect that. This was a crazy, marvellous thing. Tom Wright says in his commentary that Matthew wrote this for those early Christians, expecting them to see this story in the light of their own faith journeys with struggles and doubts, just as it is for us. For at that time, they were being persecuted, and it was of the early church, and it was just not a good time. Matthew wrote this about 40 to 50 years after the death of Christ. They were really struggling with their faith, and those doubts must have been coming in, just as they are for us today. For when Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking, he keeps his eyes straight on Jesus. He can see, if you like, the finishing line. He sees Jesus there, the person who's told them not to be afraid. It's me. It's not a ghost. It's Jesus. He said to him, come. So he gets out of the boat and he starts walking. But then, of course, just like all of us, he gets distracted. The waves are still crashing, probably the lightning's coming down, the rain is lashing. He takes his eyes off Jesus and notices the waves. He probably realizes he's doing the impossible, and that's when he begins to sink. But have you ever noticed, and it was only because I've read it quite a few times, he doesn't wait till he's overwhelmed by the waves and everything. He says to Jesus, "Save me," as he starts to sink. He doesn't, like I do, wait till I can't sort out things for myself, deal with things myself, then I might ask for help. He asks for help when he realizes he's going under. And immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. And then with a mixture of encouragement and rebuke, he asks those questions. Is that really how much faith you have? Why all this doubt? And those questions again come to mind that I mentioned at the beginning. What is it that holds us back from risking it all? How do we overcome our fears? What do we do when we doubt? How do we keep our eyes focused on the goal when everything around us is trying to distract us? It is in the end, I think, and for me definitely, about putting our trust in God, knowing not just in our heads, but also in our hearts, the faith that Paul writes about in that passage from Romans we've heard read today. The faith that we declare that Jesus is Lord, that we know in our hearts and profess with our mouths. What is God asking us to do at this moment? For me, I think the boat that I have stepped out of, and I'm now trying to keep my eyes fixed on him, is letting go of the security of earning money to be here with you. I mean, I did it a while ago. It was letting go of everything that perhaps I'd done. I've been earning money since I was 12 when I started babysitting. And for the only the second time in my life, I've had to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and know I'm doing the right thing. First time was when I was training and I felt very strongly that I was supposed to concentrate on that because it took me a lot of concentrating to do my training. And now, I know it's because this is where God wants me to be at this time with you. Not looking around for something else, not worrying about where my next job should be, what God is calling me to. He's calling me to be with you here in this boat, but also out on those seas as we navigate through this time. So that's where I've had to get out of the boat. And it's not easy. I can still easily get distracted. I think about all those big waves around me, those subtle voices saying, "Oh, this job looks good," as I look through the Church Times every week. "This job over in Bermuda looks wonderful." But no, that's not the direction he wants me to go. He wants me to keep his eyes fixed on him. What is God, I wonder, asking you to get out of your particular boat for? Is it to volunteer for something more? Is it to spend more time with him, establishing those good connections so you can totally trust in him and profess he is Lord in your heart and with your mouth? Is it to speak to your friends about what you do on a Sunday morning? Is it to start telling people about your faith journey, how you got here, which boats you've had to step out? We don't need to look around for the best place to leave the boat. He'll provide it. We don't need to wait until we feel properly equipped. We can learn on the way. And we don't need to look for that life jacket. He's there to rescue us if we need it. I can imagine the questions that might be on your mind and they're definitely on mine every time I think about what we're doing. What if just Jesus doesn't help me? Jesus might not come when I want. He might not do what I want. He might not follow every direction that I want him to, but he does care. He is all powerful and he will help. Notice that the storms didn't calm down when Peter was out on the ocean when he was walking with Jesus. The storm only calmed when he got back in the boat. The whole experience of Peter walking on that water happened while the storm raged. Sometimes Jesus doesn't remove the problems of life, but he shows up and walks through them with us. And that's where trust and faith come in. Our life is built on Jesus and him alone, not Jesus and something else, or Christ and someone else. When we realize that all we need is Jesus, that's when we will trust him. It's not easy, and sometimes, just like Peter, we take our eyes off him. But all that will matter to us is that we have him. We try not to doubt in his ability, nor question if it's the right course for our life, or wonder whether Christ can. If we take all those things on and can say those words of a song we will be about to sing, where it says, Jesus be the center, be my source, be my light, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide. Jesus. Then when we can sing those and say those, we will know that when we get out of the boat, when he looks at us and says to us, come, even though we might sink, he will rescue us and he will be with us in what we have to go through and what we're going through. Amen.
Shall we stand to declare our faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. As Brian leads us in our prayers.
Lord, we thank you that you are the source of our security, Strengthen us, we pray, in our resolve to follow your instructions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There is so much in our lives and in the world around us that is unknown, so much that causes us to be afraid. Let us face that fear with faith. Lord Jesus, you told us, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Grant us faith that doesn't doubt your word, but trusts where it cannot see. Help us to trust ourselves completely to your love and wisdom, that we may meet all that life brings, even death itself, with serenity and courage. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our churches of St. Paul's and All Saints in the present vacancy. Almighty God, we thank you for making us members of Christ and of his church in this town. May we, through your Holy Spirit, reach upward to your throne in adoration, inward to one another in fellowship, and outward to the world in social compassion. Prepare the priest of your choice for ministry among us, and prepare us too, that all may be done for the furtherance of your glory in this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who face danger and uncertainty as they work in unfamiliar locations and cultures in order to spread the good news of God's love. We think of especially of Paul Williams, who was here last week, and our other link missionaries. O God of love, it is your will that that all should come to know your truth. Bless those who have gone out from the fellowship of your church to teach and to heal in your name. Protect them in danger, support them in loneliness, give them grace in their witness, and strengthen them in love, that they may turn their hearts and souls to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all we know who are on holiday at the moment. We give thanks for the safe return of those who have already been away this summer. We commit to God the plans of those who are still to go away. And we pray for the refreshment of those who aren't able to take a holiday for whatever reason. Blessed Lord, from whom all good things come, we pray for all who are released for a time from their daily tasks to seek challenge and adventure, or just rest on their holidays. Grant that renewed in body and spirit, they may return better able to serve both you and their fellows to the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our prayers for those in need, we think particularly of those who fear illness, any we know who are awaiting the results of tests, and the frustration of all who, through illness, are unable to fulfill all they need to or would like to. We think too of the Archer family as they prepare for the funeral of Liz's mother-in-law. Eternal Father, source of all life and goodness, we bring to you all whom we know today who are anxious about their own health or that of their loved ones. be especially close to those nearing the end of their lives. Deepen within the hearts of all in need the assurance of your unfailing love, and speak your words of strength and consolation to those facing times of sorrow and sadness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand for the peace. I'm just trying out every microphone we have in the place, just in that short time. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace.